For me, Linda was that lady who smelled great, always looked great, laughed loud and laughed a lot. And in the last few years, she talked, we had a lot more conversations just about faith. And it seemed like she was growing a lot in her faith and learning things and about the gospel, about Jesus, and just very excited. And also, just with when she had her diagnosis of cancer, it didn't fill her with fear. She had this hope. She knew where she was going. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Like, how does it, you know, because how do we face death with hope? Because for most of us, we don't even want to think about death, not to mention to talk about it. It's the one thing that we avoid talking about and we distract ourselves from, but at some point we're gonna have to face it. For most people, when we think of death, we think of loss. It's the loss of hopes and dreams and relationships and purpose. And the reality is, those are all indicators that death was never meant to be. We were never meant to die. We were never meant to say goodbye. But that all came as a result of our sin, turning away from God, the God of life. And if you turn away from the God of life, all there is death. And so it's no wonder then that it fills many with fear and anxiety, but it doesn't have to. In the Bible, we have this, one of the main characters in the New Testament and writers in the New Testament is St. Paul. And he has this view of death. He says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." In other words, it is profitable. It is an advantage. It is about winning. To die is like winning the lottery. Woohoo! I won. And a very different type of outlook with regards to death. And so I want to know that. Why can he consider it gain rather than loss? And why should and can we consider it gain as well? Paul actually goes on and talks about the struggle. It's like, I have this choice. I'm in this time of my life. And if anybody held out to me a choice between life and death, he says, I'm not actually sure which one that I would choose. And we think, you know, it's obvious, Paul, choose life. And he says, no, I'm torn between the two. You're going to have to get, I need a bit of time to think about that. And for him, both options were good. He was like a star athlete that's being pursued by a variety of great teams or universities. He doesn't know which one to pick. Or a law student being courted by a few top firms. Mediterranean cruise, Caribbean cruise. You know, which one do I choose? They both look like great options. But as we see, he's torn between the two, but he actually, if he had to choose, he would choose death. He says, my desire is to depart or die and be with Christ because that is far better. And you need to understand this about Paul when he's writing this, is he is not old, he is not suicidal. He is not depressed. He is not done with life. He is not sick. He's not in pain. In fact, he is very joyful. That was the theme of this letter that he was writing in the book of Philippians. Just the joy that he was experiencing. His life is making a difference. He has purpose. He is content. He has great relationships. He has a lot of people that love him. He is doing what he loves. In other words, he had so much to live for, and yet he prefers to die. He prefers death if he had to make the choice. Why? Well, he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, for Paul, living or life was all about Jesus. To know him, to experience him, to prioritize him, to make him look good, to tell others about him, to pursue him, to become more like him. But he wanted even more than that. As he goes on and he says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, because that is far better. So Paul is not simply ready to die, he wants to die, and he's eager to die. Why? Because dying for him meant being with Christ. He doesn't say, I prefer to die so I can be in heaven. He actually doesn't say, my desire is to be with deceased loved ones, But he says, my desire, my longing is to depart and be with Christ, because Jesus is the one that makes heaven heaven. Without him, there is no heaven. And so the reality is, if you're not into Jesus, you're not going to like heaven, because it's all about Jesus. Everywhere you look, it's all about Jesus. And that's the place where he reigns. And in one sense, to be with Christ is what Christianity is all about. It's why we spend time in his word and prayer and go to church and take the Lord's Supper and such. But as close as we can get here to Jesus, and as much as we might experience his presence here, it all pales in comparison with the fullness of his presence that we will know after we die. And as Paul says, and to be with Christ is far better. Far better than what? Far better than anything that this life or world has to offer. To be with Christ is better than business success. It is better than being a great athlete. It's better than being beautiful. It is better than sex. It is better than owning a Ferrari. It is better than owning a house on the lake, being rich, being popular, everyone thinking that you're great. It's better than winning the Stanley Cup. It's better than a gold medal. It's better than getting married. It's better than having children. It's better than watching your children grow up and have grandkids. And Paul says it's not only better, but it's far better. And how does he know? And how can we know? And how do we get that perspective? And it's because of the gospel, what God has done through Jesus in order to save us and make us his own. The gospel is that Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven in order to bring us home. In order to do that, he had to free us from sin and from death. And so on the cross, he took our sins upon himself, and he endured all the things that freak us out about death. He took away the judgments and the damnation and the separation and the agony and sorrow and terror and loss. He endured it all. He suffered the death that you and I should have endured, and then he disarmed it. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, overcoming it and then transforming it. So for those who put their trust and hope in him, death is no longer a door that leads to judgment or darkness or doom, but instead it's one that leads to life and joy and beauty and delight and life in Jesus. And so do you want to come to the place where you see death as gain, to have a joyful, courageous, purposeful, fulfilling life? Like Paul and like Linda, then turn from whatever else you might be living for and trust in, live for, love, treasure, and follow Jesus. Because the more you love him, the more you'll want to be with him. But the key to all of this is to remember that he longs to be with you. Listen to the way that he prays to his Father regarding all of his followers, and this includes Linda, that he prayed 2,000 years ago. He says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. I don't know if you heard that. In other words, what Jesus is saying, what Jesus wants, what Jesus desires, each of his followers, what he longs for is that each of his followers be with him where he is. And where is he? He is in heaven. So Linda, asking Jesus, Jesus, why did you die on the cross? Why did you lose everything? And his response to her would be, my death, my losing of everything was gain. But Lord Jesus, what did you gain? And he said, you. I don't want to be in heaven without you. We can say that on Tuesday, September the 12th, 2017, Jesus' prayer was finally answered regarding Linda Bootsma. And Linda came to see beyond her wildest dreams and hope that death really is gain. And that is the reality we can all take comfort in our time of grief. And it is a hope that we can all cling to and stand on as we face our own death.